Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin.review podcast, where we explore developments and projects with the people who actually make them happen. The show is supported by Bot 2.0, Sats Streaming, and CoinKite. If you're a new listener, I'm NVK. I run CoinKite, where we've been helping people secure their Bitcoins for over a decade. We make the cold card and fun products like the Block Clock. You can find more information about it on CoinKite.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Bitcoin.review, or at least part of it, because my voice is not here. I am, I promise you. So today I have with me Mr. Pablo.
Hi, nice to be here with NBK AI. It's a very sophisticated version of Unleash.chat. Very, very pumped for this release.
That's right. Ben the Carman.
What's up, guys? I just woke up, so hopefully don't fall asleep like most of the listeners, but we'll be here.
Well, you sound like you're asleep. And Mr. Rob Hamilton.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey. So, guys, I mean, you know, given my state of voice capacity, I think I'm going to have to let you guys talk more this time instead of just, like completely strong-arming hosting everyone like usually. So, vulnerability disclosures. Go fetch. Unpatchable vulnerability in the Apple Cheap Leaks. Secret encryption keys. It's kind of fun because it's the second or third one of this kind of attack in some kind of general purpose computer in the last couple of months, right? There was a Microsoft one with TPM. And there was a Linux one, I think, as well. It's kind of interesting because, you know, if there is a company that spends a bit of money on this kind of stuff, it's Apple. And, you know, this attack is still quite a long shot to pull. And it takes about an hour or 10, up to 1 to 10 hours, I think, to perform. But it goes to show what we've been saying in the show for, you know, God knows, for whatever many episodes we have, is don't use general purpose computers for Bitcoin. Now imagine your Raspberry Pi, you know, being defended against this kind of attack. But, you know, to be fair, I mean, like, I think there is just not enough money and like install base for Raspberry Pi hardware wallets. And maybe that's why we're not going to see it for a while. But Jesus Christ, guys, like, can we be realistic and, you know, understand there's real world out there?
So is that an endorsement of using Raspberry Pis for your secrets? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I heard.
If you're the only one using it, then no one will hack you.
Exactly. I like this. He's like down for the count, so we can just say that that's the official statement now. Just use your Pis.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a voice to fight back.
It's like a reverse announcement. There is not enough money.
It's just wild. It's like Apple just put all of this capital into building out their M-series chips. And, you know, think about the tens of billions of dollars and how many man hours, and this just kind of quickly gets found out, let alone what maybe in a couple more years people are going to keep on kind of digging through and finding. The M3 chip, right, apparently has been able to patch this, but unknown yet for the performance trade-off it's going to have when it actually, you know, the patch it goes into effect.
It's funny, right, because some people ask us, you know, can you make the cold card log in faster? Nope. That's what, you know, the key stretching and everything else that's happening happens there. You know, it takes time to do things. So
I can make it into a calculator, though.
That's right. No, it's like, you know, I really wish people understood that, like, there is no, you can't cheat physics when it comes to this kind of stuff, right? Like, you know, like you lose performance, you lose UX, you lose, you know, some GUI prettiness when you get down to, like, let's focus on security, right? Like, there really is, you know, you got to give up something. And, yeah, so don't put your Bitcoin keys on computers.
Well, there's that saying, Special Forces saying, that smooth is slow and slow is fast. Because if you want to go fast, that's when things just start going bad.
Yep.
Like, you actually want to be deliberate as you're going through things.
Yep. There is no way around it. But, you know, people normally need to get wrecked to understand. All right. Vulnerability disclosure. No, sorry. Discovered via BTC SPV mining code. Improper input validated SPV mining module allows remote attackers to waste hash rates. That's a fun attack. You make your competitor miners not hash. That's great.
Is this related to Stratum V1 being unencrypted, so someone could just man in the middle and just like spoofy garbage work?
I did not have time to review this one.
I thought it was like you more like trick them to, like, it's like because it's SPV, so they're not verifying the correct block and stuff. So you like trick them to mine the wrong things.
I'm looking at the process block function only checks the block's proof of work, but does not check that the header's Merkle root tree matches the transactions in the block.
Mm. Oh.
So it doesn't do the validation to make sure the Merkle root that's in the block header, right? For those that don't know, and to put everyone asleep within the first 5 minutes, the block header that an SPV node would use to validate things includes a Merkle root of all of the transactions that exist within that block. And if you're not checking to make sure that Merkle root is an actual valid state of like new transactions being added to the blockchain, even if you found something, it doesn't matter because you can't validate the transactions. Just because you find enough leading zeros in the block header doesn't mean it's a valid block.
That's hilarious.
All the transactions within that block have to be correct and use the Merkle root to prove that. So, scary.
Yay. SIM swappers hijack phone numbers in eSIM attack. Yay. another SIM swapping attack. You know, guys, don't use your phone numbers. And companies, Jesus Christ, can you guys stop forcing people using SMS and force people to use Google Authenticator? It's not that hard.
And if you're using Google Authenticator, don't enable the cloud setting that automatically syncs it to the cloud.
Yes.
It's like the worst anti-pattern I've ever seen at app push, where it was like,
yes,
update your app. Okay, now all of your OTP passwords are synced to the cloud.
Yeah, but here's the part that I don't get, right? I mean, the spooks just have access to like the servers of the companies anyways. Like, what they care about the OTP?
Right.
Just bypass everything. You know?
It's like the meme of the park with a gate.
Yes. 100%.
In front of the park, but the rest is open.
You know, like OTP is one of those rare things that actually prevent hackers from accessing the server. If they have access to the server, they don't care about OTP. Oh, man.
It's better UX for them.
It's better UX. That's right. All right. I mean, it's so bad that, like, you know, if somebody has access to the server, they can just set up their own OTP to your account. Just putting that out there. All right. Software releases and project updates. Electris version 10.0.10.4. BDK version 1.0-alpha 8.
Yeah. The BDK team now, I think every 2 weeks, is just pushing out a new alpha release, getting ready for the final 1.0.
Yes. Notice that. Umbro OS version 1. It's going to be so hard to read this list in this voice. all right, who wants to read? But in the way that I do it, so it's like quick.
Got Nunchuck Android version 1.9.43. We got Agora Desktop version 1.1.25.
Robosat version 0.6.0. Rust PageOn version 0.1.15.0. ESP Miner version 2.1.3.
Is this the little, like, so you can like mine on a Jade?
Yes.
Right. This is like the firmware, so you can just like mine. I mean, it's fun.
It's lottery mining.
Yeah. I think I saw Nifty May do some rough math on it that, like, it's actually better, like, cost expected value trade-off than buying lottery tickets. So you might as well just plug it in on the amount of money you put into it versus what the possible payout is.
I believe it.
Like the asymmetry, like if you're actually just better setting up a couple of those than buying lotto tickets.
I totally believe it.
Or yeah, you could just not do both and...
No. Ben, you're expected to plug your ESP miner into a Raspberry Pi node because now you're a node runner.
Self-sovereign hash.
How many lightning channels do you need for that to get the badge?
All right. Label Base version 2. Label Base is kind of cool. It's just, it docks privacy, but it's a cool little project for you to sync 324 labels or 354. What is the BIP for the labels? 329.
Oh, the Craig's BIP?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
By the way, Craig is working on the features I requested in the last episode for the next release. So probably why he's not on this.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I love this. This show is nothing to do with the actual list. It's like we just have the people we need features from. We bring them on. We shame them into making the features. And then we expect them to be here on the next episode to talk about the features that they made it from the previous episode request. It's amazing.
It's a worry call.
Everyone falls asleep. It's live help desk support, basically, yes. Just with extra steps.
That's right. Brainbow. Version 0.1.150. I mean, it's time to bump a version there, sir.
BTC Pay Server. Oh, yeah, right. 1.150. Yeah. BTC Pay Server version 1.13.0. It looks like it has BBQR support for PSBTs. So.
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah, I saw Cooks on the audience at Atlantis Bitcoin. I'm like, hey, you can save 30% on PSBT QRs, can you make it? It's like, okay. And then, like, you know, a few weeks later, boom, it's there. It's going to be the standard because it's better Bitcoin QR. See?
Free open source, too.
You know, it's way more than that. It's public domain, sir. The real kind of open source. All right. Blockstream Jade added feature to change PIN on next login. Option, what, you couldn't change your PIN? Option to change PIN of currently unlocked Jade using QR code. Okay. Blockstream Green, iOS version 4.0.26, update Breeze, and a few improvements. Trezor version 24.3.3. Now it supports Polygon, guys.
Wow. Whoa, perfect. I've been waiting on that one.
Yes, that was a huge one. That's it. Like, there's no Bitcoin anything on it. It's just more shitcoin.
More Polygon.
Yeah. Ledger app, Bitcoin new support for Miniscript Taproot. That's cool.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's been a big blocker for a lot of people I've been talking to, that they don't want to make the full leap until more wallet support. All of the Miniscript Taproot stuff. So that's definitely a good thing to see. What's also interesting too, this was a conversation I saw this morning. Antoine Vassant from the Liana Wizard Sardine team was talking about how to turn on a ledger, right, to actually initialize it, you need to install Ledger Live, which is like a whole extra kit of different software you need to install and to get the firmware. And A Chow replied, I'm gonna have to go look into this because I just saw this before the show, but A Chow basically reverse engineered away using all of the Ledger Live open source code where you can just flash the firmware and install the Bitcoin app, but not have to install Ledger Live, which would be great to just cut through all of the in-between of having to download like a massive file that needs to install your Cardano wallet to update your Bitcoin firmware. Like, just doesn't make sense. So I'm very interested in looking into that.
Wait, don't they do some attestation through their software stack on the firmware?
Well, I think the firmware is signed so that you're able to, like, that the device itself will check that the firmware is valid.
Yeah, no, it has to be because the way that they do their design, it has to be. Okay.
So I just saw this before the show, but I'm going to look into it because if H-How, I think he was probably doing a lot for the HWI, like the syncing. So, yeah.
Cool. That's tankless work. All right. Kaza launches Kaza Inheritance app. It seems interesting. Like, I mean, you know, like there is single point of failure problems. You know, like they have access to essentially two keys, I guess, right? Because one is encrypted with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they can give it to somebody else, they have the key. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, like if people are not holding too much money, I think it's like a cool thing to do.
Well, but if it's for inheritance, isn't that the idea? It is that it's going to be for a lot of money?
Yeah, but then you should use their other product, the one that has more keys and they're more sort of...
I looked a little bit into how this works. I think it's a clean way without doing anything on-chain or having like rock the boat at all within their product app umbrella. And the way it works for their two of three, right, you have a hardware wallet, you have the Casa key, and you have a mobile key. Right. And so what they're able to do for the two of three is that they basically, you can assign someone as a dedicated like beneficiary, and that beneficiary is able to, in the event that they request like, hey, this person's deceased, a 6-month timer starts where the person who owns the account gets a chance to reply.
No, that part I get.
Right. I was explaining to the audience.
Who holds the key?
Oh, I think each person like holds it, right? Like I think like the backup person like has an encrypted copy and they get it decrypted.
I see. So Casa never had the key.
Casa never had the key.
That's cool. I mean, that's helpful.
And then for the 3 of 5, what they recommend is that your beneficiary holds one hardware wallet.
Yes. Mm.
And then you can transfer the phone key, because then with that one hardware wallet plus the transferred phone key plus the Casa key, you have the 3 of 5 and you can still move the funds. So,
I mean, they do have also pretty UX and all their things there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more. Like, and I think Nunchuck does something like that as well with the inheritance stuff. I think, especially now that BitKey launched, I think everybody is rushing now to like put out the whatever solutions they were working on.
Yeah.
Is the Casa app still, because the Casa app, it creates a key itself, right?
Yes.
Open source, at least?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Wow.
So, yeah, the app's not open source.
Yeah, but even if it wasn't, you can't check the stuff on the iPhone anyways.
But at least it's like a warm, fuzzy feeling.
It's an attempt.
And it's fun. This is also before NFC signers were really a thing. So if you wanted to do something like a tap signer, like that wasn't around when they initially designed the product, I think tap signer is a good fit for an in-between now.
They're working on it.
Yeah. So like those are things that make sense where if you want to remove the key management trust in the app, you could have a tap signer that does that. It would complicate the inheritance part, though, because you'd have to duplicate the tap signer because then your phone key is no longer sitting on the server.
You can give them the encrypted blob.
Oh, that's right. You could do that all within the app, too. That's a really good point. Oh, that's
what Nunchuck does.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Cool. Very nice.
But yeah, like, I think there is... I mean, I don't like this path that, you know, everybody is going there to make, like, retail feel cozy and easy with this seedless stuff. I really don't like seedless stuff because everybody's going to get stuck on those platforms. And then when these platforms go away, nobody remembers the script that's required to undo whatever fucking complicated shit they invented. You know, like, I think it's great if the solutions offer, like, say, if you're doing a 2 out of 3, maybe 2 things are seeded and 1 thing is not. And then the user chooses to back up the seed or not, kind of thing. I'm not sure how, I'm still sort of, I think it's cool that we're going that direction, that there is solutions out there. I just hope that the solutions push people to then get off the seedless stuff eventually. Yeah,
the output descriptors at least help. Now there's a standardized map in how you can encode how you're able to spend and touch the money. Whereas like if you were doing custom scripts in like 2016, 2015, like if you just deleted your computer, you were just like shit out of luck. So I think those kind of things are complementary to be able to make it easier to have that state preserved and making sure that you always have a reliable map. Because I always call that output descriptor the treasure map. If your private keys are the keys that unlock the treasure chest, the keys mean nothing if you don't have the treasure map on how the heck do you even get to those addresses on chain.
Yeah.
Doesn't like Casa, don't they like recommend like delete seeds for some of their setups? It's like...
The latest I understood, they recommend holding on, if you're doing the 3 of 5, that you hold on to 1 seed phrase, because with that 1 seed phrase, like metal, like backup, whatever, with that 1 plus the Casa key plus the phone key, you have enough material to reconstitute your wallet.
Right. Listen, Frost fixes all of this. This is all going to get resolved in a couple years.
A couple years. Nonce management still needs to be figured out. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, seriously, like, I really think that, you know, this is all going to be a sad piece of history, you know, that every app is going to be able to do inheritance in a few years.
That I agree with. I think that stuff gets more streamlined and made easier for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hugo wrote a very good critique of BitKey that sort of touches on some of these points about the seeds and stuff.
At least BitKey's fun. I have mine. I got mine in the mail from playing around with it.
Yep.
It's something I would give to my dad. I would never have someone whole personally recommend big, large sums of money on it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, again, they're trying to go after the normie market, right? Like, it's a tricky one to go with, you know, a normal hardware wallet.
And it uses a custom app from Block, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how's the onboarding? Like, how is the experience?
It's pretty easy, right? I mean,
yeah.
Tap this, you touch that, and it's like done.
Mm-hmm. It's super abstracted. And I had a balance on Cash App, and it was like your options were, do you want to transfer Bitcoin into the BitKey wallet? You click Cash App, it instantly pulls you over to the Cash App app, you hit a button, and it just sends right to BitKey. So it abstracts the whole copy-paste address. It just handles it as one seamless.
That's nice.
It's very perfect onboarding flow for someone using Cash App to move into closer to a self-custody model. It's very clean.
Imagine that's just an endpoint you can call. So you could probably do that from any wallet now, I assume.
Probably. The two options they had were Coinbase and Cash App, but I'm assuming that's probably some magic URI mobile app link that automatically creates a push payment and you just push in an address. Because that's the thing, you still had to type in how much Bitcoin and you wanted to send, but the address going to was already handled. So that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem all the solutions have, especially with normies, is going to be multi-sig and fees.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of UTXOs that may cost a lot more than people think to move.
Yep.
Especially people DCA.
And exchanges have been subsidizing this. You can pay no fees if you just wait 24 hours. And I think fee markets will continue to ramp up with all of the season 2, layer 2 stuff that's going to start coming and everything. It's going to get rough.
Yeah.
Consolidate your UTXOs now.
I had a friend reach out to me a year or two ago. He was like, I'm trying to send consolidate UTXOs and it's going to burn 5% of my stack because of it was all this multi-sig things.
Yep.
And this is at 2 sats for VBite. It's scary.
$10 a day DCAs or something.
Yeah, probably.
Just totally wrecks. Yeah.
Yeah. In 3 of 5 multi-sig, it's you're going to pay a lot.
What's really all this on-chain mixing is going to end. All this stuff is all sort of borrowed time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Unchained launches iOS app. Same idea. I there's this trend, right? Where you have the services integrated in a way where you essentially don't have to have any risk on say, for example, you buy Bitcoin. They already handle all your Bitcoin infrastructure. So you don't have risk of giving the exchange an address. Through the web UI, because, that's how exchanges work. You can't just PGP email an address. You have to paste it on the browser to withdraw. But then, hey, let's use video to authenticate your withdrawal. Oh, God, it's so brutal. But anyways.
Yeah, I'll just say this is the thing I've been talking about for a while, and I think people are starting to work on now, that for video authentication as an AI tangent, that public-private key pairs, you can't deep fake that. So some way of...
That's the only thing.
Right, proof-of-work hashing and public-private key pairs. So I think there is a place for some sort of hey, yes, it's me, I really exist. Yeah, let me tap, boom, show you that I'm actually me and not a deep fake. I think that'll be kind of the next frontier. And what's going to be crazy is that's going to bleed into non-crypto stuff. It's just going to be anything that's high important value, using a YubiKey will be the starting place, but Bitcoin public-private key pairs just being the supreme authentication. And then that turns into a whole Nostr conversation too, right? Each person has their key pair for everything.
The thing is, if you're going to authenticate that way, at least for something like Unchained or Cossets, why not just use that key to sign if that's you're using signing something to then have someone else sign?
It matters because you may not want to have, again, I don't like the idea of mixing ID with funds.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a device that is your authentication device, you don't necessarily want that to be linked to the funds themselves. But I am a libsec B256K1 maxi. So why don't we do authentication using Bitcoin key pairs, right? Instead of using some other, open SSL shit fucking curves that require open SSL. to sign, right? So anyways, I think it's
it's an Oster.
Yeah, a much better place to go. All right. The Bitcoin company launches new remittance API, Mexico and Brazil. And also expands to USA, Canada, Europe, Asia, and Africa. I mean, the whole world.
No, Australia.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go that far. Prison Island. Teleport transactions, advancements in the Bitcoin privacy, security. I've heard about this teleport transaction. I don't know much about it, but heard about it.
Oh, Raj? Raj is working on this? Cool. He left BDK a while ago. He's I'm working on something cool. So I guess this is it. That's exciting.
Deadman Switch, Rust No BS, Denman Switch TUI. It's Rust, so probably didn't pay attention. You guys know this? No?
No.
I've never seen this, no. It looks cool.
All right. Bitcan, durable, cost-efficient method for safeguarding Bitcoin mnemonics. Oh, shit, this is so stupid. Oh, God. Don't do this. So, you know, it's cute and all that you can get a can of Coke and tap your seed phrase in it. But don't do this. Really don't. This is aluminum. I mean, it literally burns. You can melt aluminum with a lighter.
You know what soda cans are meant to be able to do? Crush really easily and compress for recycling.
Yes.
So you lose everything.
Yeah, almost feels like a troll. Somebody's trolling. This is total troll. And they invented their own BIP39 compression algo here, like transliteration into this. It's like a 13 segment.
They did every single letter as a custom grid letter.
Yeah.
That is wild.
So don't use this. Really, don't. This is a troll. It's 100% a troll. It's an amazing troll. Congrats to you, sir, who did this. Great troll.
I like how in their examples they're using like a gas stove burner to do it.
Yes.
It's like just showing how easily you could just destroy this.
You know, it really has this vibe of like, you know, oh, and look, I also did some crack too.
There's just a crack pipe in the background.
That's right. It's set the tone, right? All right. Bitcoin QR, a zero dependency, zero framework, QR code embed, web component for Bitcoin, on-chain Lightning, and unified Bitcoin payments. But I was told that I was naive and galled for thinking that we already had a Bitcoin QR standard and I shouldn't launch barbecue QR. And now yet we have a third standard.
It's the XKCD comic.
Totally.
And then there was another standard.
Oh, no.
No, it's like, it's especially bad when the original, like, standard, it's like by like small players and it's shit. Like, you know, like essentially had no adoption. You know? So it's kind of nice. See, like somebody here thought about the problem of dependencies. This one doesn't have any. It's great.
Interesting. So it looks like it's doing different QRs based on, it's a wrapper of BIP21. So it's unified QRs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Speed Wallet launches Speed Rewards. Okay.
What is Speed Wallet?
I don't know. It better launch Speed Rewards.
Well, there we go.
They have a good website. Okay, Microbolt self-hosted Bitcoin and Lightning full node. Fork of Raspberry Boat and Mini Boat. Okay. Don't use Raspberry Pis. They're shit. So why do people have this fetish for this shitty expensive computer? It's like you're not doing hardware just because the PCP is visible. No, it's like, it's brutal. It's like, you know, this very cool, like, learning platform. That's what it was designed for, but that's it. Jesus.
I can't wait until the Sats Link comes out, and I'm just going to dual flash things on Raspberry Pis and the Sats Link just to run it all.
You know, hey, there you go. Go. Like, use the SP32. At least it's, like, a little closer to the hardware, you know?
Right.
Or you can't run Linux on it. That's kind of the whole point.
That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yes, like if you're running Linux on it, it means you have a whole OS stack in there, even if it's a smaller one.
If you can host a Minecraft server on it, you shouldn't be using it for security.
It is remarkable, right? It is truly remarkable that we're still arguing about this shit in like fucking 2024.
I think what really missed, a lot of people moved over to, was just using like an old like Lenovo ThinkPad or like a Mac Mini.
Yes.
Right. It's just like, well, if you're going to have a computer, just have a cheap computer. Like I listened to Brady Swenson from Swan the other day on Twitter Spaces. He's like, I run my node on an old Mac Mini from like 10 years ago and it's fine. And it's cheaper than a Pi at this point because the Pi stuff is always getting more expensive to get a hold of. I think just supply chain stuff, I guess. But anyway.
Yeah, your previous laptop is the best Bitcoin node. That's what I always do, and it works great.
Yeah, no, and like, you don't need to run a node. You just need to, like, open a laptop and sync Bitcoin Core.
Yeah, yeah. I meant more Lightning nodes, but yeah, for your...
Yeah, nobody does that anymore, Ben.
The meme is dead. The meme is dead.
R.I.P.
It was a short-lived meme. Brutal. All right, privacy software. Unleash.chat version 0.1.19. We now have an Oster DVM that can summarize text inputs using your Mistral model. So yeah, the DVM's getting launched today.
Let's fucking go.
Like Vendata.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, and you can start chats with source right from the files and data sources table as well.
This is the inverse of you requesting people to add your stuff to projects. Last time, Pavel told you to make this a DVM, and now you're announcing it.
Oh, no, this goes, it's a two-way street here.
Beautiful.
This is now, I'm taking over the show as tech support. I went to go check out unleash.chat, and I went to use my Nostr ID. So what's my best way to have a NIP7 plugin that I could use to, like, poke into Nostr to do unleash.chat?
Nost2x is good.
Yeah.
Nost2x. Okay.
There's Nostr Connect. It's like a prettier version of it. But...
Okay. I'll give that a look.
I mean, I do regret not doing web search before working on DVMs. It's going to be two people using DVMs. But it had to be done.
Some clients are coming that are going to use exactly this way of using DVM. So that's good.
Okay, that's good. We also keep on bumping into a custodial Lightning limits with, like, all the Lightning, like, providers. Lightning. Anyways.
Run a node, NBK. I can send you a Raspberry Pi if you need one.
I am not going to hire a team just to, like, run Lightning locally for us to accept small payments. Anyways. SimpleX version 5.6.0, quantum resistant end-to-end encryption, very important. Data migration features allow users to transfer all data from new devices, so that's cool. Yeah, no, this app is improving. He launches, I think, a new version every week. Evgeny, I think, is his name. Project Spotlight.
Are we reaching the Omimo part of the pod?
Oh, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Unlike other pods that you go for panels on Nostr that are less technical hosts, it's okay. My inbox, anonymous hosting, offers anonymous domain registration, VPS, Lightning plus L2, Mutiny Node, sir, please.
Oh, yeah. Huge Mutiny Node release. Johnny put, like, every single item on here, but
yeah, you guys need a more compressed. I'm gonna go make coffee while you read this. I'll be right back, but I can hear you.
Okay. I mean, this is like our giant social push. We've basically been spending the last, like, all the, when we were in Madeira for 2 months, just, like, working on all the Nostr stuff. Now the new app looks like Venmo, where you just, like, have a feed of all your payments between friends. There's DMs, and we basically just made, like, Nostr first class. Now you can, like, create profile and, like, follow, unfollow, everything like that. Just, there's no, like, Twitter-like feed, but everything else is in there. And then, basically a ton of different work in there to, like, make that really optimal, and as well, like, trying to make this stuff work properly. Like, I tried really hard to make sure I don't delete anyone's follow list or relay list or anything. So if that happens to you, reach out, because I tried to not make sure I don't. But yeah, otherwise, I don't know, lots of good stuff in there. And I think hopefully this will be, I don't know, we submitted to the app stores yesterday, so hopefully when this pod's out, it's actually released, but hopefully soon.
And Ben, how are you trying to not delete the contact list and all that?
Basically, like, we have, like, we store, like, your current contact list. We're always listening for new ones. And then anytime we edit your profile or contact list, we, like, pull from Primal, like, hey, is there a new one as well? And then, like, also we have, like, a bunch of different handling of, like, because we allow like importing insects now, so we have to like make sure if you've imported insects since last time we cached your relay list or contact list, do we have a different one for like a different key and stuff. So a bunch of little things there that we try to do that make sure we don't delete it. But yeah, I think it'll work.
That's nice. It's a problem without a solution. So it's like attempting to solve it a little bit.
Yeah. I also like try to do like, you know, never like, okay, if they're like, you know, your kind three or no, your kind zero, like just don't delete the tags of those. Just, you know, just copy paste everything, only edit what I need to and stuff like that. So that should help and stuff.
Yeah, that part is important. In Coracle for a while, if you followed or unfollowed anyone, it would wipe your relay list, the old way of doing relay list. So if you follow or unfollow anyone on Coracle, you would go to Deimos and you would have no relays. And but now that part is fixed on Coracle. But yeah, the how to manage stuff that you don't understand on these kind zeros and kind threes is important and tricky.
Yeah. Like before I did this, all this stuff, I was like, these fucking idiots, Noster devs, they can't figure out this stuff. And then I was doing it, I was like, oh shit, this is hard. You have to be really careful here. And yeah.
Yeah, the kind zero and the kind three are such a mess. One of the things that we've proposed, and it's kind of, I mean, the conversation kind of died down for no particular reason, but I think we should totally do it, is the relays, because they already keep a bunch of versions, they should respond with the latest versions. So you could see if you wipe one of the versions, because whatever, you didn't know, you immediately can recover because you are getting like whatever the last three versions of the kind zero and the last three versions of the kind three. Like any app could recover without doing any weird record keeping, any versioning or anything, because we already have the data. It's just a matter of showing data.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One thing for you, Rodolfo, we have some minor cache support as well now. You can if you can copy paste tokens in and you'll sweep them to your balance.
Getting nutty.
Nice. Also, the malware does that too. You know, I don't. That is a little bit of a small oversight that I think the design of Cashew has, which is, you know, you don't want to be copy and pasting tokens because, you know, it's gonna get swept.
Yeah.
Anyways,
clipboard's the most secure transport.
Yeah. You know, actually, Apple does this thing now where they prevent every app, if you're in lockdown mode, for sure, on the laptop and computer. Sorry, the laptop or phone. He asks when an app tries to read the clipboard, he asks if you want to let the app read the clipboard.
Oh, wow.
I always does that without lockdown mode. It does it like by default, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it always does that.
There you go.
Yeah, one more thing to highlight. We added Fedimint discoverability. So now like everyone is asking like, oh, how do I get into Fedimint? Now it's like you'd have to copy paste a string from somewhere and, you know, know someone that's running a federation. Now it's like all in the app. So there's already like, I think, two announced on mainnet in there. And so that's exciting. So now you can like kind of just like find Fedimints easily without having to do anything like that. Now we're like working with the Fedimint project to like, because they're like been working on like a Noster module. So now they're going to like try to add support for this. So like by default, like federations will just announce themselves on Noster, and then anyone can just like discover and find them and add them into the app easily.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm super pumped by that. It's a very, very cool feature. And it shows the discoverability features of Noster that MBK hates so much and he's so bearish on. And just proving him wrong is...
Oh, yeah. So we live for.
So what are you proving me wrong for?
No, sir. It's the discoverability layer of the internet, sir. And a search engine.
I mean, if that is true, okay, that means we lost with the idea of like, you know, like small relays being not necessarily connected to each other.
What? Why?
Well, because you know, there's going to be a lot of subsections of Noster where people don't want to see each other, right? So they start segregating themselves and they fall off the gossip network.
Oh, yeah, but there is no network.
Well, then there you go. That discoverability is just an index.
No, but that's fucking amazing.
No, but the discoverability shit is just an index. It's like somebody through a algo or something decided to index something so that other people can find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's that different than the normal internet or like start page on Tor?
You can segregate. So for example, say I run a Fedimint and I want to completely be segregated from whomever else. And I run my own relays and it's sort of like you can think of it as sort of like an intranet kind of thing.
You're not winning when you bring up intranet.
That's when you win the argument.
As soon as you bring up like CompuServe, sir, CompuServe lost.
Think of it as a private blockchain, if you will.
Jesus Christ. You guys need to work on your analogies. Let's move on. I'm going to prove you wrong. Intranets are going to come back.
Oh, no.
Localized internet. Local first internet.
I'm okay with that.
Local area network.
By the way, that's what 5G networks were supposed to be for phones. You were supposed to be able to do a phone to phone or phone to antenna to phone. Say, for example, you're calling your wife in your house, right? The original spec of 5G could have a phone talk to another phone or a phone talk to a local antenna and then back to the other phone.
And the spooks didn't like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but then the spooks didn't like that, nor did the carriers, because now you're not spending your data. Seriously, like it's 5G was like a legit incredible protocol. It really is. Even all botched up, still good, but anyways. All right. Async releases Phoenix D, and it's essentially like most of the working Lightning Network, right? And Claire,
it's super cool. It's like everyone that like runs a node, they're like, oh, now I have to manage channels. Fuck this. This is now you can have like an always online node where you don't manage channels and any of that stuff. It's pretty nice.
They do a lot of splicing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all just being consolidated in one. Yeah. I think that's how the edges of the network for Lightning would make the most sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested if like companies will start using this where it's like when I was at the Bitcoin company, that was like a big problem. It was like, okay, we have to run this giant node and do all this management and care about all this stuff. Now it's just like, just run this stupid, simple thing and you don't have to worry about that ever again. Thing is like it's 1% fees for sends, so or maybe every or receives as well, I'm not sure, but yeah, like so it eats into your margins a lot, but maybe it's worth it.
Sounds like more for retail than enterprise then, because that's a massive hit.
But I mean, I don't know, like for the Bitcoin company, we lost a lot of money running our own node, like just getting like force closures or random shit, so I don't know, it's a trade-off, but yeah.
Is Ben's okay with this comms?
Yeah, we've talked about this publicly. We hate Lightning.
I'm just joking. All right, I'll be Lightning browser extension. Oh, by the way, I moved on to a lozenger now to see if it improves the voice.
One, I just want to throw, I just dropped it in the chat. I saw Francis from Bold Bitcoin tweet out. They have some contributions for their Bolts client library, which allows them to create non-custodial swaps between Lightning, Liquid, and Bitcoin.
Oh.
And it's all open source in Rust. So I just dropped it as a tweet in the chat here, just as a cool little, I just saw that going across my feed.
Okay, so it is interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Lightning browser extension, improve permission management for Noster, blah, blah, blah. Very cool.
NIP44 support, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's the new encryption scheme.
Is anyone using that yet?
Coracle supports it. Amethyst supports it. Very, very few support it.
Is this the one we worked together or no?
No. This is just that it's just a replacement of the encryption scheme that DMs are using. So now there is a new encryption scheme for.
So it's missing Omimo still.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, NIP44, this is the one that got a grant from OpenSats to get...
I remember now.
Like an actual, yeah, cryptographers to look at it. Yeah. It has support versioning. It's pretty cool.
Hang on, I'm choking on this lozenger.
But we still need Omimo, I guess. So.
Oh, it is minty and eucalyptus. Woof.
Oh man.
Oh my god. Anyways.
Yeah. Really quick, I got a. I was just talking with Nick Newman over at CASA. Just really quickly go back to their inheritance thing. The way you hand it off is you would do an in-person QR phone scan, so the encrypted shard never touches the CASA servers. Or you can text it, just to get that clarification.
But it goes to their app.
It's on the app, yes. But I wanted to provide a little clarification. Also, you can get rid of a phone key and you can just use another hardware wallet instead, which I never realized was a feature, but
yes,
it has been a feature the entire time. So that was news to me today.
Yeah, he did tell me that he can choose to use a hardware wallet.
So you can just have a delegated, like the second key for them being a hardware wallet too.
Yeah. But then you just don't give them the PIN to the hardware wallet.
No, like if you're doing a 2 of 3, I can have a hardware wallet. My beneficiary has a hardware wallet, and then there's the CASA key, right? So you could do that. And then for a 3 of 5, everyone has their own hardware wallet.
So CASA and the beneficiary can take your money.
That's the, yes. And the app layer handles that where the beneficiary isn't allowed to participate.
Yeah, but the app layer can be pushed around by the lawyers.
I'm explaining how they design their product. I'm not doing the full threat modeling.
Okay. No, it's like, and I like, good for them for trying. Like, it's not like beating at them. It's just a hard problem. It really is. Like, at some point, there was a saying about this. It's like, you can solve all the problems with cryptography, but then you have key problems. Like, I can't remember. There was a saying like that.
It makes all security problems key management problems.
There you go. That's one of them. Which essentially puts you back to square one. Anyways, so all right, nutshell, version 0.15.2. They keep on improving it. 10.10.1, version 2.0.7. Project Spotlight, multi-neural payments. Oh yeah, so this is the nutshell. Sorry, the nutshell, the cashew thing that Kali launched, which he described as it's just going to work and you won't know how it works.
Perfect.
I was like, okay, well, that's a perfect way of describing something in a way that's winning.
It just abstracts all the complexity away. But the idea is that if you want to pay a Lightning invoice, you can take from multiple mints, you can just pay one invoice. So it aggregates it all. So you have better sender privacy too.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because the state is not going to go after, you know, a literal 1 million mints each holding 50 cents, you know? And then when you want to send $100, you just take 10 cents from enough of those mints to make a Lightning invoice.
Beautiful. That'll be super cool.
Pretty crazy when you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody rugs your 50-cent mint, you don't care.
My goal with Mutiny is because we have FediMint, Cashew, and self-custodial Lightning support. So I want to do a payment that originates from all three at once. That would be super fun.
Yep. You guys, so Bazel is going to have a protocol that pays very simply. And the user won't even know.
That's exactly Bazel.
Lightning and Lightning, a C-sharp Lightning network implementation. Why?
What the fuck? Who's making this?
Well, maybe it's for BTC Pay Server. Who knows?
Well, BTC Pay Server is doing LDK stuff. So.
Oh, there you go.
So why would they write a C-sharp? Have fun with that.
People with Windows machines want to run it locally. Hedgehog by Super Testnet, a protocol for improved layer 2 Bitcoin payments. It seems to be like a Lightning competitor kind of thing.
Yeah, my understanding, it's like basically like a better way to do like user to LSP relationships kind of thing. I don't know if you can't really replace all of Lightning with this, but like those that last mile like edge nodes, this makes a lot of sense for. It kind of lets you like do these offline receives and stuff at those edge layers.
Very cool. Bolt's client, swap client for Lightning node runners. Sats for AI, an open source and private AI platform, offers audio, image, open source offers all that. I'm curious now.
Looks very ChatGPT-like, and you connect a Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah, this looks like ChatGPT API on the back.
I can connect my Mutiny wallet, though.
Oh.
That's actually an option.
Oh, they're using Bitcoin Connect, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, add a new wallet connection string, paste the connection string, but not your wallet connect. Okay.
Where's the GitHub repo for the open source part? It's not here.
Coming soon.
There is literally, yeah, no. This is totally a OpenAI API on the back. And there, Jesus.
But I don't see a GitHub. I'm on their Twitter page too, and I don't see a GitHub.
Yeah. PaperQ, that's these guys are being like upfront about this. Great name, by the way. Bitcoin-powered chatbot service. So it's essentially OpenAI wrapper where they take Lightning payments. Maybe that's what I should do. Why am I like spending time building all this AI infrastructure? I can just use OpenAI API.
If you run the model, you can make it say, you know, recipe for bombs and shit like that. So that's your angle.
Yeah. I mean, how many people want to actually ask for a recipe for a bomb? Like, then it's not just a demo for Twitter about how, you know, based they are.
What do you do when you wake up in the morning then?
What do you do? It's life worth living.
Bombs and deep fake porn. That's it.
That's right. That's right. Spooks, I have no suicidal thoughts. Okay, let's be very clear.
Yeah.
list and review Cashew Mint's leveraging Noster as a discoverability and identity layer. Cool. L2.watch. Nice domain. Full list of existing and upcoming L2 layers. Okay.
This is fake news. It's none of them are actually L2s. They're all just multi-sigs, but
yes.
Well, to their credit, they have Fendinet on there, but it says it's pre-testnet when it is live on mainnet now, right? The Madeira Federation's now on mainnet, so that needs an update. But
Fendinet's not really a layer two. It's also just a multi-sig.
Well, I agree. But I'm saying that for all... I had a tweet about this, that if all these layer twos are just going to be multi-sigs, just do it on Fendinet, because you already have the consensus stuff already built. Like, why wouldn't you just do it there?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that questions the unit economics of raising a lot of money and issuing a token on top of it if someone has a way you can do it for free already.
You know, in my opinion, I think we are going to get some serious advancement once you can do Cashew with on-chain clearing.
Hmm. Yep.
I think that's when, you know, you might start seeing people who mean something to actually like do shit. Like, you know, because then you can make tokens that are worth real money.
Right.
The Moksha, the Rust implementation of Cashew has on-chain support.
Oh, by the way, here's an idea for a dev out there looking for something to do. Create a website that, like a web service that allows companies to create gift cards. So you were essentially running a gift card database, but the gift cards are Cashew based. So, you know, so like when CoinKite sells a gift card to somebody, those could have some better controls and but also be more fungible. That could be very interesting.
It's like Bitcoin company with eCash support.
So CoinKite announces that they're free selling the Q2 and someone comes in and buys all of them and then resells the eCash.
Well, I mean, there'll be a stable coin by default, right? Because they're redeemable,
right,
for a product that is USD denominated.
Yeah, but you could sell if it's an asset like a hard wallet that say you produce whatever 10,000 on the first go or whatever number.
No, it's the same. Forget about the pre-orders. Okay, think about just gift cards. We sell gift cards, right? Home Depot sells gift cards, right? And people use Home Depot cards where they can't use Visa cards, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, between each other to buy and sell stuff, right? Now, imagine if these Home Depot cards are Cashew tokens.
Mm, okay. Okay, so it's using the company as a stablecoin, basically. Mm. That's pretty interesting.
Huge market.
Yeah.
Huge market. It might bump into regulators at some point, but huge market.
Well, Tether is fine.
There you go. Yeah, but Tether is very proud of the amount of tokens they have recalled from people that were not allowed to use them.
Yeah. Once Tether goes down, then we just use Home Depot gift cards and it's the new stable coin.
It's the new stable coin.
Did you see that dude that got, I think it was during COVID, peak COVID, there was this guy that went to jail in Russia because he created a potato coin. Like essentially he created a potato-backed currency in some village in Russia.
That's awesome.
This is not a joke. Yeah, no, the dude was totally like, you know, like he, and apparently I think there was some buy-in clearly because he got arrested. That was, remember when the ruble went down like by 30% or something?
Yeah.
That's when it was around that time. So yeah, there is demand, man.
So the potato guy was going to replicate the a gif and ikash.
Yeah, but you know, it's potato based. That's stable.
Better than a meme coin.
Yeah,
100%.
Imagine printing like $10 trillion being like, oh, it's this potato back currency. That's what's causing our inflation.
No, it's the opposite. That's literally the argument that those retards have against Bitcoin, that Bitcoin being deflationary is causing the dollar to inflate.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Not the congressional bills, just increasing the spending every year. It wasn't that, not printing the money. It's in fact, there's something better.
That's right. All right. Now comes the part of the show, the Pablo part of the show.
Pablo.review.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about the new NDK?
Yeah. So I got this release yesterday, but I announced it today. It's NDK 2.6. I extended a lot of the Outbox model implementation of NDK. So NDK had Outbox support for like six months or something like that. And this improves a lot the relay selection. And yeah, it's much more performant. So it connects to a bunch less relays. It pulls data from less relays because it knows from which relays it's going to find the data that it wants. So instead of asking for each relay that it's connected to for absolutely everything, it says, give me this set of keys from here, this set of keys from here. So yeah, it should be much more performant, especially on low bandwidth environments, so on the phone, stuff like that. And added support for Relay Blacklist, which I didn't have, which is nice. And a bunch of other stuff. I improved the cache invalidation logic, which should make not a big difference, but it makes my mind easier. Probably no one will notice, but I noticed. And yeah, some improvements on the NDK component library. I listed one of them is the delete option. Deletes are fake, but it says that it's going to try and delete. But yeah, important release. I'm happy with it.
I mean, oh no, the next one is highlighters. So sir, please continue.
Oh, yeah. All right. So Highlighter 3.0, this has been a shitload of time in the making. I rewrote Highlighter twice before releasing this. And I'm super pumped. This one, I made a lot of work to make this happen. And the whole idea is to have like a patron or Substack competitor on Noster in a way that is not captured by Highlighter. So the idea is that now creators, writers, filmmakers are able to publish their work, whether it's paid, like you need to be subscribed to access their content or not. It has NIP29 chat, so you can have like a private community chat for the people that are part of the supporters community. But it's made in a way that Amethyst, for example, or Primal, or Coracle, or any client, they can create subscriptions. They can have their own creators because these are not Highlighter creators. These are Noster creators. So everything on how this works is not centralized around Highlighter. There has been a few attempts of doing stuff like this on Noster. They've all been made around a one particular domain that you need to connect to, that you need to go to subscribe to or to access the content. It's someone's creator. I wanted to make this in a way that the creator, they can go to their own relay if whatever, Alex Jones, the stereotypical Alex Jones, wants to become a Noster creator. They cannot be banned by Highlighter or by any other provider. And they're still a first-class citizen in the network. And the way it works is that there is no extractive model. There is no, okay, Highlighter is going to take 5 or 10% of the revenue from the creators. Creators say how much they're willing to give to the platform, the client, that brings them new customers. So Highlighter, if someone subscribes via Highlighter, Highlighter can take whatever the creator said. It works with, it's a massive, massive release. It works with recurring subscriptions, just like Zapple Pay. It's the same idea where you send a Zap every once in a while, every month or whatever it is. It has fiat payments. So I implemented fiat Zaps for this, which are horrible, horrible and disgusting. I did a $1 Zap to myself a few days ago, and today I got 60 cents. So it took like 5 days. I can probably do a chargeback and just have a 30 buck haul. But yeah, it's important for the normies to have the fiat part. So anyone that is on Substack doing like Bitcoin content or Nostr content or Freedom Tech content or whatever it is should totally come to this model. Today, the launch, so I'm launching this today. The launch with this, well, yesterday for the people listening on the pod, it's with Max DeMarco. It's the first person publishing their content like this on Nostr. Right now, obviously, Highlighter is the only client that supports it because I came up with all these nips, but any client can support it. I know Primal will support it, which is very, very cool. So yeah, very pumped about this one.
Nice. All right. And then we have a Primal Web App update. They improved performance, new note reactions, and automatic redirect from the landing page. Oh, no, wait, Highlighter was after. But anyways, yeah. Rust Nostr version 0.29.0, Nost Social version 0.1.7, Quarkle version 0.4.4, 0x Chat version 1.2.7-beta. Oh, by the way, Mr. Odell, Pablo, Hodobod, FiatJeff, and who else was there?
I think that's it.
Mike Dugler.
Oh, Mike Dilger. Yeah.
And Dilger. They all did the Citadel Dispatch on Nostr. You guys were talking about Outbox on the last 15 minutes that I went in. Was there anything else interesting there?
There was zero interesting things there.
What show is this?
Citadel Dispatch.
Never heard of it.
Oh, wait. We shouldn't advertise that because Matt doesn't advertise my show. So we shouldn't advertise Citadel Dispatch. CitadelDispatch.org.
You need Bitcoin.review hats so I can wear a Bitcoin.review hat when I go on Citadel Dispatch next time.
That's right.
Now, yeah, we talked about because there's been a lot of controversy around the Outbox model, which is a horrible name, but it's a little bit better than Gossip. And how relay selection, which is basically what we're talking about, how it should work. A lot of people thought that we're shitting. Well, some people thought that we were shitting on Primal, which was pretty funny, but like, no, no, no. Like, it didn't even cross my mind when we were talking about this. Then some people thought that we were fudding Blaster or talking shit about Blaster, which is also incorrect. It's just a very misunderstood idea. I don't think we made, well, I saw some comments of Nostr saying people that they understood the argument better, but during the show I was thinking, I don't think we're even explaining the problem better in this pod. It was just, I don't know, shitting the shit, basically. But yeah, I don't know. Some people, apparently some people understood a little bit more, so maybe we did something.
Okay, that's good. All right, Project Spotlight's Citrine sounds like medicine, a Nostr relay in your phone. Yeah, local relays are interesting. I want to see a local relay on ESP32 if anybody's listening and wants to work on that.
There is someone working on an NSEC bunker on an ESP. It's already signing events on Nostr. So that's pretty cool.
How does anyone connect to a relay if it's on your phone? Is it like only your local apps can talk to it?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. It's basically like a phone-wide cache for your phone. But yeah, I think there's a lot. There's a very, like, the satellite.earth is going, well, I mean, you know this, Ben. But it's we've been talking about this quite a bit in Madeira. But the idea is satellite.earth is going to be like an instance that you run on your laptop and it's always syncing. So whenever you open a client, the data is already local, so it's going to be incredibly, incredibly fast. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff with release like this. Obviously, this also only works on Android because, you know, like on iOS, it will kill the app.
All right, guys. I think we're now at the last little bit of the show. It was a faster show. We still managed to do an hour and 15 minutes. And boosts. Thank you, everyone. Top booster, J.C. Denton. And then Z-Docs, PeopleX, Cypherpunk. We're like, already working. I'm not going to advertise stuff. Anyways, thank you for the boost, guys. Is there anything on the newsletter that we should cover that we maybe missed?
The Bitcoin Optech newsletter? Or
yeah, I have it here. We have a summary. Is there anything that changed in terms of like people trying to move the mailing list that I may have missed?
No.
Because the Google groups did not work. You know, people are just on Dalvin, right? They're just going to be there until the next drama.
Yeah. There's already drama because there's like now Dalvin has like private like threads or something. And then Antoine Riard was like, I didn't get invited to a private thread. And so there's already drama, of course. But yeah.
No, but it's going to get worse, like in my view. But whatever.
Oh, yeah.
People don't learn. They want to go to Tamus. Everybody wants to be Tamus. At some point. Yeah, so because Dalvin does have public backups. James puts them on GitHub or something. But then somebody makes a backup of the private threads. Where do they go?
I don't even understand the point of like a private thread if you maybe want to have like a permission thread.
Email each other.
Well, just email each other or like have it be public so people can see a discussion, but like we only want certain people to not spam it.
And here's the worst part, you know. Remember, Dalvin is based on Discord or something, right? Or something like that.
Discourse. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So here's the problem with that. Some clever kid is going to get pissed off, is going to hack into their servers. Guarantee you. Like 100% going to happen. And they're going to air out all the private threads that people are making there. And then it's going to make shit even more like horrible. So assume all your private threads will be eventually public.
The one private thread I've seen used was like they're talking about like vulnerabilities of like you can make a block that takes like 30 minutes to validate, and they're like they made a private thread of like if only people like this is how you make the 30 minute block to validate. So
I mean that makes sense.
Don't disclose that to everyone, but yeah, you know, it's okay to tell Peter Walla, you know, how to make a 30 minute block. But
isn't that part of like the disclosure thing? You can already tell the maintainers of the project like how it works. Like you send them a PGP signed message and like they can look at it.
Yeah, I mean, but this has been a known vulnerability for like a decade now. But it's like they're talking about like, oh, we could remove this. This is like how you do it. So this is how we could remove it, kind of thing. But yeah, it was in. I can send you guys the thread. It was like this great consensus cleanup thread where they do it. But yeah.
All right. BIP 324 proxy for client for like clients. I saw some of that. That's nice. All right, news and noteworthy. Big One Ounce is replaced by fee available for clients. Yay!
Well done.
You gotta love this company. The problem is all these guys' stack is Bitcoin. It's coin agnostic, right? Because they have to support shitcoins and stuff. So like for them to do Bitcoin specific things takes a lot longer.
Yeah, they have a small Bitcoin-specific team over there. And I think they do the 2 of 3, so that's like the one part, but a lot of their infrastructure, I think, is like the MPC base where it's all a similar stack.
Yep.
So they finally got around to the 2 of 3 side to update for RBF.
I've spoken with the Bitcoin team at BitGo, and they're incredibly capable. Like,
yes, yeah, they hire very good people.
Yeah, it's...
They're great engineers.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, aside from not having API limits, they haven't really ever been robbed that we know.
That's something.
But they didn't have API limits. So I think it happened twice that people just drained.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Bitfinex hack.
The Bitfinex, man.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Was that $50 million worth of Bitcoin at the time?
An API key had admin permissions and the ability to change permissions. So it was able to... It was a master key that could just change all the limits.
And no notifications. Nobody got a text. Hey, there might be a problem.
No hard-coded. It was just, yeah, you can drain everything.
No circuit breakers.
No.
No, pretty brutal. I mean, you know, if I was building that, I mean, I think pretty sure we had this at CoinKite. The way it worked is we had limits, even though the clients like would remove all the limits, they would still hit essentially like a error or bug, right? It's like once you hit, and we had like this throughout the whole thing, there were some velocity controls. It's like, oh, we just returned a 500 error, right? And then they contact us and we go like, is this real? Is it really you who's trying to do this? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll fix the bug.
Also, probably an alert on your side saying, hey, someone just tried draining a whole thing.
Exactly.
Right. Right, let you know. Right.
Is it you or somebody else trying to drain your account? Yes. Bugs are great. all right. Lightning Musket. What's up with that? Integrated merchant payment. Whatever. Nostr.org now has a simple protocol splash page.
That domain was like held hostage for a year or something, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Demos Purpo was released, which is their paid tier. MicroStrategy now has 1% of all Bitcoin. See, this is what happens. When devs don't release enough software, we get to the news part of the show, okay? It's your fault. It is absolutely your fucking fault. It's not us, okay? We're supposed to be tired by now, but no. Okay, you didn't release enough software this week. So you're going to hear about MicroStrategy now. That's right. Anyways, funding, HRF, a bunch of grants, OpenSats, more grants, lots of grants. Nobody can complain about money anymore. Y'all comes from Jack. Mining, Stratum V2 releases SRI 1.0. They should have changed to SSRI. That would have been funny and weird.
The Super Stratum reference implementation.
Yes. Marathon Holdings release. Oh, we should talk about their block.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, the pennies. Everybody went gay yesterday on Twitter.
And everyone thought it had something to do with ordinals, even though there was not an inscription. There wasn't anything.
Nothing.
It was just transaction ordering in a block.
You know, it's starting to piss me off because it's like, first of all, it's most of the people who don't know how code even works who complains about the shit.
Yes.
Two is like, what happened to the hacker spirit of like, you know, the punks in Bitcoin, right? Like,
yeah.
Man, like when somebody pulls a stunt like that, everybody go like, yes, you know, like, look at how stupid awesome this is, right? Like, it's like, you know, they like, what's, I forgot his name, the hardware dude on Twitter that did this.
Portland Hoddle.
I mean, like the effort for him to come up with a fucking script that like creates the template and organizes the transactions in that fucking order to match how mempool.space displays on their website. Nothing to do with Bitcoin.
So what he had to do was he had to create all transactions of equal weight so they were the same grid size. And I think he chose a weight of 420 just to add to the memes.
Oh, really? No fucking way.
Each transaction,
yes,
is a double op return. Just to show that it's a non-standard transaction. The first op return is a smiley face, and then the second op return is a couple like random characters. And then he had to sequence it in a way where if you're going down the grid in the ordering, that you would modulate the fee rate so you could draw the letter M and write Mara on it.
It's fucking brilliant.
He had to, I think he's able to do this pretty easily because fees are cheap right now, but then he had to pay, I think the opportunity cost was like $14,000 in transaction fees. In the amount of earned media, like everyone talking about this.
Millions.
Yeah, millions. Like, and no one understands that, like, oh, they're shortcutting their miners. It's like they don't get it. Like, it's, yeah.
You know, get the fucking dildo up your ass, please. You know, like, seriously, this is fucking remarkable. The dude is a fucking hacker. Like, this is so cool. You know, like, sure, if somebody starts doing this on every block, you know, with their other brands, then it's lame. Right? But come on, the first person who does it, like, it's fucking cool. That's what hackers do. That's what Bitcoin was.
It only works because if fee rates were massive, there would be a much higher opportunity cost.
And who cares? Even if it was it's just the achievement, right? Of being like this retarded.
I have to say, it is, I saw Michael Tidwell point out, it's slightly off center. It's 4 green rows on the left side and 6 on the right side. So
yes,
he needs to do it again. It's off center. It doesn't count. It's ugly. It's a failure.
You know, like, dude, it's, you know, I bet that if it was an independent miner, that it would, the cry would have been maybe a little less.
If it was any other miner besides Marathon, like if, you know, if F2Pool did this, people wouldn't really care either, I think. But everyone hates Marathon.
And I don't think people understand that, like, this is already possible since ever. You can do empty blocks, same thing. Achieves the same.
It's also totally arbitrary. If mempool.space didn't, like, if you didn't know mempool.space, if you don't use mempool.space, you don't even know what the heck this was, right? It was a very specific thing.
On the phone, if you go to that thing, it doesn't show the graph. So, like, the first time I clicked on it, I don't know what people are talking about. There's nothing. It's just a bunch of little transactions of the same size. Seriously, like, that was what I saw. And I'm like, and then an hour later, I see everybody, like, screaming and crying. And it's like, you know, somebody ate cats or something, right? Oh, man, it's just... like, why is everybody so grumpy? Like, I don't, Bitcoin is like $70,000. Why is everybody crying so much? I don't get it.
I genuinely think it's what you said, MK, like people who aren't close to coding. Because I always point to the ultimate reference on this, Ben, when you did the Stacker News post of like, the cure is worse than the disease. No one understands that like, the stuff is just going to exist. It's going to be here. And to fight all of this stuff, it's just not worth the squeeze to try and change anything. And Bitcoin as a permissionless network is more important than what we come to from a moral lens of like Bitcoin being like the network only being for money.
But see, this is the thing with this one is even more permissionless than inscriptions and ordinal shit. It's just like, I don't think people understand how permissionless this one is.
And it also cleaned up the UTXO set. It was all op returns. There was no spam. It was the cleanest way you could have done any of this.
No, and this one was like a literal equivalent to an empty block.
Right.
Like, it's just so... I don't understand. I really, like, normally I get like a decent sort of intuition or like a sense, a read of like, you know, where Bitcoin Twitter is at emotionally, you know, like, and like what's going on. But with this one, I really like, this is just so weird. It's like, you know, like what happened to you people? You're like, you know, you're not cool anymore.
American HODL calls it cycle theory, where all of Bitcoin Twitter is on their cycle at the same time.
Yeah, 100%. It must be like, it's... But normally this happens in the bear market, right? Everybody's eating noodles, like ramen.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting old, you know, like this whole crying about everything on Twitter when people do something with Bitcoin that they don't like is getting like too gay.
When the permissionless network does things they don't get permission to and they get upset about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then they lump you, right? Like, so like, you know, I was saying that people are going to be able to do like inscriptions and ordinals and there's nothing you can do about it, right? Oh my God, NVK supports the ordinals because he's going to sell our cold cards. I'm like, dude, it makes literally no difference. You know, like it's so exhausting, man. Like, it's an eternal September now with this crowd.
Oh, this wasn't on the software list. Did you see, you know, DZ, Danny Kreider, who's been turning a lot of the ordinal stuff, he got the Sats Hunter code to like hunt for rare sats. He linked it with the Cold Card HSM. So you can run Cold Card HSM mode to do the sats hunting just as a random software release related to all of this.
I know.
So you see, you're in on it, man. You're doing it to sell more Cold Card HSMs.
Oh, yeah. I sold an extra Cold Card. Wow. Wow. Living large. That's it. We're all flying private now to the next conference with this extra. Jesus Christ, man.
Wait, but why would you need a private key for the Hunter thing? Don't you just need the public?
Because it's cycling transactions. It's a hot wallet that's constantly depositing, withdrawing.
Oh, it's making transactions.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought he was just looking at your XPub. Okay.
No, he's actively mining. So you deposit money into an exchange and you withdraw.
Yeah, he's mining for a specific UTXO.
Right.
Yeah, he's trying to find all the rare sets.
How many of these rare sets are like the
billions?
There's one in every block. There's one in every block. There's one.
Oh, there's one in every block?
Well, the first sat in every block is an uncommon sat. And then I think this is all ordinal theory, like if you subscribe to it, right? But like, this is how it all works.
Yeah. Religion.
You know, like, I am like, I must say, like, the you know, it really has that sort of like the, remember the Yes Chad meme?
Yeah.
Okay. So the people who are against all the things are now starting to become the Karens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, the more that they do that, the more people who like to troll get empowered and like really like, it's like they're forcing me to start trolling them. Because like when people have that kind of like, you know, crybaby reaction about things, Bitcoin is a pyramid of, you know, the temple of like whatever humanity. Dude, no, it was invented for drug dealers to fucking sell shit on the internet. Okay, like get fucking off your horse. Jesus, it's brutal.
Doing inscriptions to own the libs, like.
Oh man, and it's like, and the problem is, I think what prevents me, for example, from taking part on trolling them is that like, I find people trying to sell like this retarded sort of fake scarcity shit even stupidier. So like, I'm really trapped in the middle here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, conflating like the argument that like you guys can't stop this, just stop it, being like, I'm now going to start hawking this stuff. It's a, they're totally different. They're totally different conversation.
But it's like, remember, I think it was Udi who had this insight before he became a hated person. What Bitcoiners don't understand about the shitcoiners is that the shitcoiners don't care. See, like that to me was the biggest insight ever. Cause like, I remember being that idiot going on like, you know, some of the spaces with shitcoiners and trying to explain to them why their coin's a scam. And Louis was like, dude, they don't care. It's literally like a feature. Being a scam is the feature. Right? Like, and I was like, oh, I see. You know, that makes total sense.
You had to go to the extra left side of the bell curve. Like, you're at the top and you're like, oh, I need to go to the left side. Got it. Scrub brain it.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, like, you know, dear Bitcoiner, you know, if it's your time of the month, just like log out of Twitter. You know, like, we're all going to be irrelevant anyways. Like, you know, another 2-3 years, you know, every Bitcoin influencer also going to be relevant. You know, there's no fiat, like there's some fiat influencers, but they have a central bank, you know, but there is no like dollar community, right? Like all this shit's going to water down and end, you know, and then you're going to just be left with the sacks, with the sats you stacked, you know, and the code you wrote. And that's it. Like that's you know, you're gonna get forgotten. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to accept that. But like your opinion doesn't matter.
It's a control thing. I think it's a narrative, like people who felt like they were in control of the narrative of what Bitcoin is and how it should be used are seeing all of a sudden the territory like depart from what they said. And it's like they don't like the fact that permissionless things are doing things they didn't get permission to. And it's just like you have to reintegrate and be like, I'm not in control here. Just like an understanding that.
But you never are in control of Bitcoin, right? I mean,
no, but people thought that they were from a narrative perspective because they would talk about like the economics of it all. And that can all still be true with all this stuff happening.
I think also it has to do with this, like, you know, people project their like personal beliefs, personal values on Bitcoin, like, and then they take the paper as like scripture or something, right? Like
1,000%.
Yeah, no, but that's literally what happened to like the big blockers, right? I mean, they were trying to literally read the paper and then they end up forked out, right? Like that's why, like, if you fork out the degen, there you're gonna probably be in the smallest chain. So, you know, like just walk on grass.
Go outside.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, the hackers are not going to stop hacking just because, you know, you feel offended, you know, and also like, I thought the Bitcoiners were the people who are, you know, the let's, you know, absolute free speech and, you know, all that good stuff, right? It's like, people are going to do shit you get offended with. Just get over yourself. Jesus. But it's getting like completely insufferable. Sorry, I had to rant about this. It's just like, it's too much. Rob is on the phone. That's why he's not commenting.
He was like, well, fuck this. he got a call from Udi.
Again, all of this is your fault. You didn't release enough software. So now we're at the end of the show. We don't have enough shit to talk about. So we end up talking about shit that we shouldn't talk about. Just gonna put that out there.
We became a real podcast on accident.
I know, right? Like that's everything I've been trying to avoid is talk about politics, talk about like finance and TradFi and all that shit. Anyways.
So what do you think about the convertible note that that Sailor issued, MBK?
Okay, boys. I think we should kill this because, yeah. Yes, let's just kill this. So, actually, Rob, anything you want to show about Trident and Anchor that we don't know that's new?
I don't have anything imminently to talk about and show. I'm moving personally things on mainnet right now and just getting ready to get go live. So that's all been moving nicely. Stay tuned to this space. I'm sure we'll have a big press release when we're fully launched and live, ready to go.
Wow.
Press release as in, like, I come on this podcast. This is the press release. Like, podcast tour is what I mean. I'm not hiring a PR firm, you know?
Right. But you guys should. You guys are, like, professional, and you have to interface with the fiat people.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But
Should buy a block from Mara.
I totally should. You know what would be really funny is just doing a 4 megabyte transaction that's just an ungodly mini script. So it's a financial transaction, but it'll be like a 700 of a 20,000. Just have a whole bunch of pub keys just sitting there and taking up a 4 megger.
Yeah, I know. On top of that, I think you should organize the bytes in a way that sort of like does something offensive to people too.
Oh, I'm going to write messages in the public keys. They're going to be arbitrary public keys. And so you're going to be able to look at the stack and there'll be a whole message.
No. But on top of that, when I put on my hacks dump table, you know, I want to see something in ASCII art.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we'll do that too. There'll be a whole embedded op return, 10 kilobyte op returns to the consensus limit of pixel art.
I feel empowered to offend more people now with this whole sort of like zeitgeist. You know, I really feel like offending people is like the offending Bitcoiners especially, like feels like really feels good.
It's now counterculture to just say that you're not in control here, which was the entire ethos of Bitcoin at the start. And I think a lot of people lost their way on that.
Yeah. All right, Pablo, anything you have to shield on top of your 50 software updates?
No, yeah, just go to highlighter.com/max DeMarco and subscribe to Max. Support his stuff. It's value for value. NBK loves that.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna eat. You know, it's probably easier to make photosynthesis than it is to support yourself with value for value. Look, I'm trying to do photosynthesis. I'm in the sun.
Shirtless.
Shirtless, of course. So, Rob, should I go like this to the next pod we're on with Cathy Wood?
I was laughing that you were going on now that you said it, yeah, the next podcast is with Cathy Wood. And I was like, I wonder if Adolfo's going to have a shirt on. And he's like, no shirt. Like, okay. He's just going to.
I did get called out in an investor meeting. There were about 30 investors. One of them is a very famous person. He goes like, and I think I see NVK without a shirt on that corner there of the call.
Tidbit, there are also no pants.
No, it's just nothing.
Shh. Nobody needs to know that part. Actually, I'm wearing jeans, but, you know, the sun is not. I am not doing perennial tanning at the moment.
That's for the premium feed of Bitcoin.review.
That's right. It's my premium feed. All right, Bandit Carmen, any shields or things you need to let everybody know?
Yeah, try out the new release of Mutiny. Hopefully it's out by the time this comes out. But yeah, a bunch of new stuff in there and lighting address in 2 weeks, TM. But that'll be exciting too.
Cool. I think on our end, I didn't mention on the beginning, I forgot. So I mentioned it 2 hours, an hour and a half in. So the calculator is coming to the queue and is logged in. You can log in into the queue through the calculator.
Amazing. It's fucking amazing.
I love it.
Best troll, right? And what else? We're... Oh, so this is... So the next step for the Edge release is we want to get the Edge releases a setting under Danger Zone. So it's no longer a separate firmware.
Oh, okay.
So that's one step. Yeah.
Interesting. So you would be able to, within, it's all one unified firmware, and you would turn on edge features.
Yes. If we can fit everything in, you know, in memory and stuff, but we'll see.
Understood.
We're just waiting for Doc Hacks to be emotionally ready for it.
Understood.
We've reviewed a lot, and please try to find more bugs with the edge release. It's very important for us.
I found some corner things I've been working with the team.
Great.
I
know. So yeah. So once he's emotionally ready for mini screen, it's a massive diff.
I bet it is. And I respect that it's a lot. I respect it's a lot.
Yeah. So we'll stick it into danger zone first with lots of warnings. And then after that, then it goes into mainline. Because the next goal is to merge MK4 branch with Q branch, because they're the same firmware. They just have different target platforms with like minute hardware differences. Because maintaining more than one like branch and firmware source code for this shit is dangerous and not good.
Branches are fake.
Exactly. And then we're going to do Docker. Just kidding.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if you try to spend more Bitcoin from your call card, you'll get a phone call from MBK saying, are you sure you want to do this?
That's right. Totally possible.
We can have your face come up and just like wagging your finger.
Yeah. Totally possible, right? With the current design. And I think with that, that's it, guys. That's it for today. Thank you so much. Thanks for bearing with my voice. I should have a worse voice for the next recording, 15 minutes from now. That should be very interesting.
That's right.
And have a wonderful day.
Thank you, McKay.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, check the show notes. We put a lot of effort into them. And remember, we don't have a crystal ball, so let us know about your project. Visit bitcoin.review to find out how to get in touch.